nice to see you. I really feel like God's going to do something so good in the house. And just for a minute, can we raise our hands all over this house? Can I tell you, the anointing of God is something that can be in a room and even by being in the room where the anointing is, there is still a step we have to take to lay hold of the anointing. Jesus was teaching in a temple, and the Bible says that while he was teaching, not in the temple, he was at the home of some Pharisees. And the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Yet none of them were getting healed except for four men who cracked open the roof and dropped a friend on a bed down through the roof. It's amazing how the anointing of God for what they needed was there, but they didn't have the faith to connect with what God was doing. And it's so important in an atmosphere like this, we've sung, we've worshipped God, but even right now, take a minute to say, God, tonight is my night for an encounter with heaven. And I'm believing, God, that not one person is going to leave this place the way they came, but we're going to see God do something because he's alive. And he's not one person is going to leave this place the way they came, but we're going to see God do something because he's alive and he's moving by his Spirit. And my prayer tonight is that we would be touched and changed by the presence of God. Father, we just give you permission to touch us and fill us on this first Sunday night service in the middle of January. God, I just pray that you would just come by your anointing, come by your power, come by your Spirit. And Lord, I just pray, touch every hungry heart in the house. Let the anointing of God fill this house in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you praise for what you're going to do in this place by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, let's give God a shout of praise in here for just... Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Can I just say, I want to give honor where honor's due. Pastor Brad, Pastor Allison, I know they're not here, and they're having a good breather, ready to be refreshed. Somebody, let's give God a shout of praise in here for just... Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Can I just say, I want to give honor where honor's due. Pastor Brad, Pastor Allison, I know they're not here, and they're having a good breather, ready to be refreshed and come and minister for a great year ahead. But I want to just say for my wife Donna and myself, I started dating Donna years ago, and Pastor Brad and Pastor Allison were the young adults pastors at the church that I grew up in, which is now Influences Church in Adelaide. And the crazy thing was I guess I'd been around the presence of God, and some of you might know my dad, Tim Hall, who's preached here a bunch of times. So I've been around that my whole life. But my wife, she was just a good Baptist girl, you know. But Pastor Brad and Pastor Allison took her under her wing, and he used to tell her, Donna, tonight you're going to prophesy. And so Donna would just step out at a home group and give the word of the Lord. But it was like he saw something in my wife's life, and so did Pastor Allison. And so for me and for my wife Donna, we don't just love them as our friends, but we highly esteem the gift of God on them. And they're great leaders. They're the most loyal people in the world. And can I tell you this? This is the thing that you've got to know. They love this church. Whenever you talk to them, it's just shy life, shy life, shy life. And it's not the buildings. It's not the stuff. He's just the best people. And I'm not kidding. He just loves you. And can I say, I've been to some church where all the pastor does is complain about their people. It's true, you know. And Pastor Brad said he likes the vast majority of you. And so, like, some of the youth he reckons have issues. But that's why they're doing camp this week, just to get everyone. If you're a young person, let me tell you, this week, you are making time out of your holidays to encounter God. God looks at that fondly and loves the fact that you're making a sacrifice. You'll be out with your friends. I probably shouldn't say that because some of you might just want to go do that. But let me tell you, place a demand on the power of God and know that God, when you make room for God, he makes room for you. And it's going to be awesome. And I know that you're going to have a great time together. But I feel like God's going to do something in the house. You may be seated in the presence of God. Thank you, musicians. You're amazing. And it really is. It is an honour and a joy to be with you all. And for a South Australian to get to hop on an aeroplane and come to the big smoke of Sydney. That's exciting. That's amazing. Usually I have to go in a ute to wherever I get to preach, but today it was an aeroplane. Awesome. I'm so excited about what the Lord's going to do. And my prayer is that I don't just, I guess, be a guest speaker, but I can be somebody that just helps people connect with the power of God and be a blessing. And it is my honour to be here. But if you have a Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll notice that the vowels of those epistles are in alphabetical order. That's how you know the order. Ga, as in A, Galatians, E for Ephesians, and I can't spell the rest, but God knows. So basically, you've just graduated Bible college hearing that. So go and start a church. Cool. Ephesians 5, and I want to have a look at verse 14, reading from the New King James Bible. And it says this, "Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." It's a great scripture. That word awake really means you who sleep. He's saying awake to the things of the Spirit. Be awakened to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he says, awake you sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I love this, verse 18. He says, do not be drunk with wine. Notice he's not having a go at being drunk. He's just clarifying what we should and shouldn't be drunk with. He says, some of you are going, I knew it. This is awesome. He says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, he says, or excess, or in other words, getting drunk. He says, but be filled. Somebody say, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, don't just be filled with the Spirit, but start speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not one person has come up to me tonight with a spiritual song. I'm devastated. I was waiting for someone to come up and say, hallelujah, Merry Christmas, whatever. It would have been powerful, but not one person. But by the end, you'll be singing to everyone. It'd be awesome. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I know it's a fairly common passage. We've all read it, and we've heard messages from this text. And I want to just show you a couple of things that I really do believe would just set us up tonight to just receive something fresh from heaven in our life. You've got to understand, firstly, when you look at this text, who is Paul writing to? Who is he talking to? So he says, be filled with the Spirit. So he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we might look at what he's saying. Yeah, it's good, be filled with the Spirit. But what he's actually saying there is he's saying, be continually being filled with the Spirit. So in other words, don't just be filled one time and then live from that one infilling. Look, I believe there's one baptism in the Holy Spirit and many infillings. And so Paul's writing and he's saying, be constantly being filled. So he's saying, be filled right now and stay filled right now is what it's saying. Now, but let me go on for a minute. The important part here that's interesting is he's not writing that letter to, and I'm not suggesting that our style of church is better than anyone else's. However, I attend a church like this, so you probably know what my viewpoint is. But he's not writing to your local traditional church down the road and saying, you know, be filled with the Spirit, as if that maybe they haven't embraced the teaching and preaching on being filled with the Holy Ghost and having a prayer language and the gifts of the Spirit. He's not writing to a non-charismatic or Pentecostal church, if you will. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, which started in revival. So the church that he's saying, be filled with the Spirit to, he's not talking to the, you know, sometimes we sort of look at maybe where the haves and there's the have-nots. And I'm trying to say, he's not writing to the quote-unquote have-nots. He's writing to the haves. He's writing to you and I, excuse me, and saying, you and I need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because some of us, we believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe in the power of God, but maybe our water levels are just a little bit low, you know, and things are just not necessarily where we'd like them to be. And Paul is writing to a church that's started in revival. And I mean, Timothy was a move of God guy. Paul had said, man, stir up the gift that's in you, which you receive through the laying on of my hands. And that church started in Acts 19, where Paul came to Ephesus and he found some disciples. And the Bible says, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you got saved? They said, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. And he said, well, then how'd you get baptized? He said, in water. We did John's baptism. So he said, well, let me show you a different baptism. And laid his hands on them. And, ooh, hallelujah, the power of God came on them. They were rondi shondying all the way home. It was awesome. And the fire of God came upon their life. And this church explodes in Ephesus to one of the biggest churches in that period. And the rest is history. And yet Paul writes to them. So he's not writing to the conservative, you know, church where you walk in and everyone's quiet. And he's talking to a church just like Shy Alive, just like my church at home. And he's saying, you know what? Maybe I'm adding a little bit for effect. But basically, if he was preaching this in January, he'd be saying in January, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Go into this year full of the Holy Ghost. Go into this year filled with the fire of God, knowing that sense of the anointing, knowing that sense of the presence of God in your heart and in your life, and see God do something. And so Paul is writing and saying, be filled with the Spirit. Now, about a year ago, I got given this book by a guy called Donald G, who was, I didn't know who he was at the time. I found out after I got given the book, but one of my friends who's in our church, he says to me on Pentecost Sunday, he gives me a book called Pentecost, which he got at a garage sale for $2. And I know, it's a lot of money. I thought it was wasteful to spend such a... I mean, South Australians are not known for their generosity, so this is a big breakthrough for him. So he gives me this book. I open the cover and it says, Dear Maud from Mavis, January 14th, 1949, printed in 1932. I suddenly realise this book on Pentecost is the most unbelievable little book I've read. And so I'm in my office before service and I start reading this chapter on being filled with the Spirit. And he writes something that I've never forgotten, and I want to share it with you. He says, being filled with the Spirit, and this is what Donald G writes. He's one of the writers for Wigglesworth, all basically a founding writer of the AOG in England back in the 1900s. He says, being filled with the Spirit is a recognizable condition. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and not know that you've been filled with the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit and other people not know that you've been filled with the Spirit. I mean, I don't know the names of all your roads, but we came over. What's the name of the bridge that brings you from the airport to the Shire? That big bridge? The Commonwealth Bridge? Captain Cook's? Captain Hook? Whoever's bridge it is. Big picture. I came on a bridge. Sydney Harbour Bridge. Whatever bridge comes to Shire. Get on the bridge. But let me say this. If I decided to just get out of the car and stand in the middle of the bridge and wait for a Mack truck to come over the bridge, I could step in front of that truck. If I get hit by a Mack truck, let me tell you one thing. If you get hit by a Mack truck, you know you've been hit by a Mack truck. I mean, there's no doubt in your mind. If you get hit by a Suzuki Swift, the Suzuki Swift's probably going to be in terrible condition afterwards and you'll be fine. But if you get hit by a Mack truck, when you get up, if you get up, you walk different. You talk different. You get home. Your wife says, honey, what happened? Well, sweetheart, I was just hanging on the bridge, whose name is debatable. And as I was on the bridge, I got hit by a Mack truck. I'm never going to be the same again. I can tell you right now, when you get touched with the fire of God. Oh, come on. So let's get a bit Pentecostal in here for a minute. When you get touched with the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit, who's a person and who's alive, when he touches you with the power of heaven, let me tell you, you know. You say, how do you know? Well, let's look at scripture for a minute. Isaiah, minding his own business one day, was hungry for an encounter with God. So an angel of the Lord flies down with a coal from the altar of heaven. It was a hot coal. We know this because the angel didn't touch the coal. He was transporting it with tongs. The angel was smart, but evidently not compassionate, the angel gets the tongs and sticks them on Isaiah's lips, burning his lips forever. Since then, Isaiah has pronounced his name Isaiah. People said to Isaiah, man, tell us about the encounter with God. I've never been the same since. It's incredible. What about Jacob? I mean, he knew when he had an encounter with God. The Bible says he wrestled with God. God stabs him in the hip and breaks his hip. How was church? Fantastic. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. What about Peter? Forget Peter. Maybe Paul instead. Paul. He was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. His name wasn't even Paul. It was Saul. The Holy Ghost comes on him. He hits the ground and he goes blind. I mean, that's not something we really attribute to a move of God these days. How was church? Fantastic. It went and seemed perfectly. 20/20 vision. Blind as a bat now. What happened? Holy Ghost came. I mean, I'm never going to be the same. And you know you've had a move of God when the S falls off your name. You get a P instead. It's like I said to Pastor Jared, how was church this morning? He said, it's so powerful. The name's Parrot. I'm never going to be the same again. Can you imagine the three of them in heaven? There's Isaiah, there's Paul, and there's Jacob. Jacob walks over and he says, Isaiah, tell us about when God touched you. He goes, it was the most incredible thing that's ever taken place. What about you, Paul? My life has been forever changed. We're over here. My life's been forever changed. Can I just let you know, church, I'm a bit old school. I grew up Pentecostal. Not even Pentecostal. My parents are Pentahostal. I mean, they don't even fight in English. They fight in tongues. I mean, they levitate. They don't sleep. Let me tell you right now, can I say, and this is not necessarily a trendy thing to say, but do you know you can feel God? I mean, you can come into church in your prayer time, in your experiences with heaven. You can feel the same power that was on Jesus. You say, how do you know? Well, when Jesus was, oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. When Jesus was walking to heal Jairus' daughter, what happened? A woman with issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. Jesus stops. He said, who touched me? They said, everyone's touching me. He said, no, someone touched me and I felt power leave my body. He felt power. If he felt it leave, she would have felt it come. And you know, I'm not saying we're moved by feelings, but the anointing, the presence of God is tangible. You can feel God. Walk in here tonight, worship's on. I mean, there's worship teams all over the world that have the same level of musicianship as this place and they do a great job. But you walk in here and although it looks great, it sounds great, that's not the thing that flicks your switch. You walk in here, you feel God. Because he's abiding, he's with us. And I want to encourage you, maybe you know God with your head. And we're good at that. We're so good at knowing God with our head. When's the last time you just felt that oil from heaven? You know, you just felt the breath of God touch your life. Maybe for some of you, it's just in worship that one time you lifted your hands and you got the goosebumps, you know. You're like... For some of you, maybe you first came to this church and you thought, you know what? I like it. I like the pastor, Pastor Brad and Pastor Ali. They're good. I'm not down with the lifting of hands, so I'm just going to take it easy. And then just one day, the ushers, just when you thought you had a good seat on the floor, the ushers decided to just farm you up into that situation. So you're in that dark corner by yourself. Your wife didn't come that day. You didn't bring your kids. So you thought, you know what? I'm going to just see what all this fuss is about. So you think you'll go half-mast. Now, I want to clarify. I said half-mast. I preached in America recently and said half-mast. They thought I was saying inappropriate things in the house of the Lord, which I was not. So you just sort of go half-mast, sort of. And as you do, you get the goosebumps. You're like, you know. So no one's around. It's dark up there. It's also dangerous up there. There's people hiding. And then you think, you know what, I might just try the other. And you're like, oh. So you think, I'm in. And you just lift your hands and forever you've been a praiser. And you could never go back to worshipping the way you used to worship. It's like that with the anointing. It's like that with the presence of God. Once you've stepped over and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, maybe you don't pray in tongues and you're not into that. And you go, I don't want a Bobo Shan. I should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Mitsubishi. Very bad mistake. Maybe you don't want to pray in tongues. And you're going, hey, if I get filled with the Spirit, do I have to speak in tongues? You don't have to. You get to. And it's very different because it's from the grace of God. But sometimes on the outside, we look at speaking in tongues and go, you know what? I've gotten to all the weird stuff here at Shiloh. I've lifted my hands. I yell out when the preaching's on. I move around during the singing. I hug people I don't know. I'm kind of cool with that, you know. But as for that speaking in tongues, there's no way I'm going to do it. But the thing is, the minute you cross over, you go, how did I exist as a Christian without doing that? Speaking in tongues. Let me say this. Tweet it, Instagram it, Facebook it. You don't need to give me cred. I'm not looking for that. But let me tell you this. Speaking in tongues is weird. You might think, you can't say that. No, I did, because it's so strange. But God works in that unseen dimension where sometimes on the other side of what's uncomfortable and unusual, there is a wellspring of heaven that flows and it works. I pray in tongues all the time. I love praying in tongues. But you know something? The reason I love praying in tongues is because I feel like it just activates everything Paul's talking about. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And I guess I didn't really give you the message title, but tonight I wanted to talk about being filled with the Spirit. And I really wanted to talk about indicators that you've been filled with the Spirit. And I've really only got two, but I think I might only just preach one because I don't know if the other one's biblical. So we'll have a look. The first indicator you've been filled with the Spirit is you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You've received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I've talked a little bit about speaking in tongues here, but I want to just open this up for a minute and just give you a little bit of fresh perspective about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is, we look in Scripture, and often you'll hear a pastor get up and say, you know, tonight I want to preach on grace, maybe. Say grace, I'm just picking grace. And they'll say, you know, the original word for grace, and then they'll open that up and give you a Greek word and additional meanings to that. And they'll start talking about the unmerited favor of God, and we learn a greater depth to the subject. I love it when preachers open up a bit of original language because you just learn some stuff. So the word baptism in Scripture, actually there are two words that get used interchangeably. One of them is bapto, which is not what we call Baptist for short. It's bapto. And the other word is baptizo. Bapto, somebody say bapto. Say baptizo. Man, the Greek here is so good, I feel like having a Euros after the service. And so the words really mean the same thing. But I came across a poem written in ancient Greek language in 200 AD. So the same exact language that was spoken in the time of Jesus, in the time of Paul, and in Bible times. And so I told you there's people hiding up the back there. I told you. So he uses these words. There is bapto and there is baptizo, and the two words, they interchange in Scripture. So this writer of the poem that I'm telling you about, he writes a poem about the process of making pickles. Now, some of you are going, what's happening here? I'm not sure myself. So just stay with me and we'll see how this pans out. So he writes this poem on the process of making pickles, and he uses the word bapto and he uses the word baptizo. Now, let me show you how this works. So he talks about how you make pickles. Now, until I came across this poem, I always thought pickles were a thing. You just go to Bunnings and buy a pickle seed and water the pickle seed, and maybe a few months down the track, you got yourself a little harvest of pickles. That's not true. There's no such thing as a pickle. You never read in Genesis, God said, let there be pickles. And there were. And he saw that it was good. And he rested, because making pickles is hard work, even for God. You know, so he starts talking about creation. We never hear anything about that. We never hear anything about that at all. But what we what we do actually know in reality is that pickles were actually cucumbers. Some of you, who did not know this? Who did know this? It's fair to say I'm the last one on the train when it comes to the truth about pickles. So, pickles were cucumbers that had been, through a process called pickling, and now we have pickles. So a pickle technically is a cucumber that's been saved, baptized in the Spirit, and is now a pickle. Now, the way this works, I'll tell you how it works for the two of you taking notes. Stay with me. This is going to change your life. So the way pickles work is they go through two processes. They get dipped in hot water, which is called blanching, or if you're from South Australia, blanching. They blanch the pickle. It's boiling hot, softens the skin to then stick it into a jar full of vinegar with all the other cucumbers. And then the vinegar that's in that jar breaks through the skin of the cucumber and it changes the molecular structure, the chemical structure of the cucumber and turns it into a pickle. And so, pickle. I've just turned 15. So, stay with me. This is heavy theology I've got for you. I've been working on this for 7 minutes of preparation time. No, so this pickle goes through a process. Now, this writer of the ancient Greek poem on the process of making pickles uses the word bapto and baptizo. And he uses the word bapto when he talks about getting the cucumber and blanching it, dipping it in the hot water in preparation for what's next. And then he uses the word baptizo when he talks about staying in the jar. Because another translation for baptism in the Spirit is saturation. Because once you get that pickle in, it's one thing to just get dipped and get a little bit of the anointing on you, but there is something about getting into close proximity with a whole lot of other cucumbers. That jar gets sealed and suddenly there is a change that takes place. Do you know it is scientifically impossible to reverse a pickle back to a cucumber? I mean, modern science has spent billions, hundreds of dollars trying to reverse pickles back to cucumbers, and we're like, can you cure major diseases? No, we have to reverse. We got a pickle to reverse. It can't be done. Can I tell you, once you've been saturated in the power of God, come on, somebody. Once you've been saturated in the Holy Ghost, you cannot go back to this old cucumber thing, man. You've been changed. You're never going to be the same. Irreversible, because you've been saturated in the power of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just get a dip. I want to live in the presence and the power of God. I don't want to just be baptized in the Spirit once on a youth camp. I want to stay full and fully immersed by the anointing of God, where I experience that yoke-destroying anointing that breaks bondages and sets captives free. Oh man, this is good news. I tell you, we've got to carry some power in our lives as believers. Let's be people who are connected with the power of God. I was preaching in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and this girl comes up to me after a conference session. So I preached at a youth conference, and I mean, the place was, there's a good crowd at this thing. So we'd gone quite a long time, and I'd pray for everything that moved. I mean, we'd had a Holy Ghost night, and it was all happening. This girl comes in, and she says, this is the end of the meeting. So I'm walking out. She goes, would you pray for me? I said, sure. And so I prayed a brotherly kind of parting prayer because I was leaving. So I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, bless her, touch her with the goodness of God. Amen. And I went to walk off. And she says, was that it? I said, hey. She goes, was that it? I'm like, what do you mean, was that it? She goes, is that it? I was like, I don't know what you mean. Was that it? She goes, well, I have depression. I have anxiety. I've got parents whose marriage has now come to an end and they're both terminally ill. She said, I have sickness in my body and I'm going through some major stuff. I came to you in faith believing that I was going to get a breakthrough. And she said, was that it? I was like, no. I said, it's a practice. You got to warm up. You know, you can't just do this. What do you think this is? I'm not Jesus. I mean, and so it's like some of you need to warm up in your prayer language and yourself. Just pull the string. Cool. Give it a cool. Just one more. Cool. Okay, let's do this again then. So I thought, okay, I better pray for it properly. I prayed a nice little prayer. So I thought, I need to pray a good Pentecostal prayer. So I thought, I'm going to go old school. And no one was watching. So I thought, I'm going to give this a good whirl. So I put my hand on her head and I said, in the name of Jesus. You've got to yell sometimes just to scare people. In the name of, and this is what I said. I said, you be made whole by the power of God. She, boom, she hits the floor. I mean, she hit so hard the catcher behind her couldn't catch her. He had to catch her one hand, one bounce, you know. So she's on the floor. Some people have said to me, falling out in the spirit is weird. It's a bit weird, but I reckon I can tell you something that's way more weird is if you have fallen out, it's working the right time to get back up. That's all. That's always been my dilemma. Have I been out there long enough? If I get up now, it's too soon. I need to be on the grill a long time. So when I get to heaven, I wanted to say well done, not medium rare, you know? So she's on the... So I lay hands on her and say, in Jesus' name, boom, she hits the floor. And I'm like, was that it? And then I went home and I thought to myself, oh, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, David, don't pastor the kind of church where people come with a need for the touch of God in their life and answers to prayer, and they go home and they say, was that it? Yeah. My prayer tonight is that you don't come here and say, Dave, I'm hungry for God to do something. You leave going, oh, was that it? Church is the hope of the world. Yeah. I mean, we got the same power that Jesus carried. See lives touched and changed by the power of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with that anointing. I want to be filled with the presence of God. And my prayer tonight is that we'd have an encounter with heaven and that God would do something so rich and so powerful by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Paul writes, don't be drunk with wine. Maybe the keyboard player can come as well. Just because I think we should just see what God wants to do in this place. But he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Drunk. I don't want to get crazy and say, sort of try and tell you how you should react to the presence of God. I'm not saying we have to necessarily feign drunkenness. I am saying that what Paul's writing is we can get intoxicated with so many things. What in America, if you drive drunk, they call it a DUI. Do we call it that here? I don't even know. Here, we call it something, but a DUI, driving under the influence. Yeah. Can I say, I want to be under the influence, but of God, of His presence all around me. Things are trying to influence me. Billboard signs are trying to influence me. Facebook is trying to influence me. The other day, I decided I wanted to get industrial lights for my new house above my kitchen bench. Now I get on Instagram, and it tells me where to buy industrial lights. I'm like, how does Instagram know? Facebook is telling me to go to the same website. Everything's trying to influence me. I mean, it's crazy. And you know, in a room like this, you come to church for 90 minutes on a Sunday night, and you can just get a readjustment to just make sure you're under the right stuff. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When you're filled with God, you know that greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. And I do sense the presence of God. And the reason I feel like I want to stop preaching is not because I'm not enjoying myself. I feel like God wants to minister to people in this place. And I'd love it if just for a few minutes, we're not in a hurry to go. We just take some time and lean into God. Maybe if we can stand all across the house and lift our hands to the God of heaven and earth, who was and is and is to come. The one who loves us. The one who cares for us. The one that saved us and delivered us and changed our heart and changed our life. And maybe tonight, why don't we just raise our hands to God, church? Maybe, can I say, maybe you've never lifted your hands and you don't really like being told to. Can I tell you, often on the other side of what's uncomfortable, there are so many blessings from heaven. You can know God and know His presence. Open up your heart and let Him fill you. Let that fresh oil of heaven just come. Some of you going into 2017, you had an awful 2016. I'm believing God this year is going to be blessed. May it be crowned with the goodness of God. Father, tonight we thank you for your touch. We thank you for your presence. Lord God, right now in this place, we know that nothing's impossible. I don't want to disrupt the flow, but I'd love it if the whole worship team...